Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
It's been called South Africa's silent epidemic. The National Gambling Board says the country's gambling industry hit a record 75 billion rand in gross revenue last year. And while some hail it as an economic success story, it's a growing tax-paying sector. The reality beneath the numbers is far more troubling. Reports suggest that over a quarter of gamblers are social grant recipients, often betting out of desperation rather than entertainment. Well, joining me to unpack this is Salem Inyati, Consumer Financial Education Specialist at the Momentum Group Foundation. Salem, let's just start with the big picture. These latest figures truly are staggering. What do you think is driving this surge, particularly among lower income households?
Thank you so much, Michael. People are desperate, right? And people are looking for a solution, and they're looking for a solution now. So people are looking for quick fixes, and gambling seems to be the quick fix, right? So nobody's putting a lot of thought into it. They just know that there is that shot, that possibility of me making more money because of the crisis we're in. I mean, it's not just cost of living in terms of just food and transport, but it's also our debt repayments and debt obligations. We are struggling as South Africans, and South Africans are now looking for a quick solution.
You've noted that the shift to online gambling, accelerated by lockdowns, has really changed everything. How has technology and the rise of online betting platforms just reshaped the gambling habits in South Africa?
You know, it's removed that shame, right? When you make that effort of getting out of your house and going to a place and possibilities of being seen by people, you also have time to think about what you're doing. But if it's at your fingertips, it's easy to do. So easy to get up to, and I'm going to say loosely, mischief. When nobody sees you, it's, you know, at your fingertips. And so that shame element is out of it. And also, if you think about it, Michael, if you're scrolling, whether you're online, you're trying to buy something, or you're trying to read or look at something, the adverts that are around betting are quite, you know, they're in your face. It's there. So it's accessible, easily accessible for you to just find yourself clicking on that link. Even if you are not a gambler, even if you're not thinking of gambling, when it's there in your face, you sort of click and you say, yeah, let me see how this thing works.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, and it's just a personal position, this, but when I see sports people endorsing these online gambling platforms, mm-hmm, it really turns me off. And I know there is a positive side to the industry, but there's also this human cost. And if you look at the National Gambling Board, it says the numbers of distressed gamblers seeking help has increased by sixfold in a single year. I mean, what does that tell us about the psychological and the financial toll that gambling is taking on South Africans right now?
That risk, you know, that risking it all. When instead of converting, you know, when you invest, for example, you're still risking it, right? But it's a positive whereby you can actually gain from that potential compound interest. But here's the thing. People are already in financial trouble. If you just look at how many South Africans are struggling to repay debt, that's over 10 million.
Yeah.
You go there already stressed, already struggling. What are the odds of you winning, Michael? You know, the numbers even say for you to win 100 rands, you need to have put 110 rands, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So already you go in there, the odds are you're going to lose. And by the time you see like something that looks like a win, you've lost something. Now, people are stressed because already you walk in there trying to solve for something, and then you make the situation worse, and your finances are a big thing when it comes to mental health. And people don't see that if there's other solutions, other ways of trying to have some sort of relief, bounce back, you know, sort of find your bearings and then go ahead. And I'll give you an example, Michael. people can apply for what is called a payment holiday. When the stats say 70% of our income goes towards debt, when you then apply for a payment holiday, let's say for 3 months, which, by the way, does not affect your credit report negatively, you then have 3 months of 70% of your income back to sort of find your balance, whether it's to build an emergency fund or quickly sort out that pain point in your life and then continue with your life again. So there are alternatives. Yeah. People just need to be educated and not try for the quick fix.
I like that because, you know, it's about breaking that cycle of despair. It's about looking at solutions because despair isn't the answer. And if you're under severe financial pressure, I can see how gambling might seem like the only way to help you out and make quick money. But there are much better real-world alternatives, like you've mentioned, going looking for debt counseling, get that payment holiday, maybe sit down and really look at your budget and see where you can start to make incremental improvements. And I know Momentum has long emphasized financial literacy and consumer education. So how can education, especially among youth and grant recipients, I think from the detail we get from the gambling figures, we can be targeted here. How can we really target this particular cohort with targeted financial literacy and consumer education? Because I think that becomes the first line of defense against this growing gambling epidemic.
That's true. And, you know, that's why we have these programs, Michael, for free to say, you know what, sometimes you do something like gambling, for example, because it's available, it's in your face, it's at your fingertips. But when you engage in financial education, you then start to learn about alternatives. But also, people think that when you have a financial advisor, it's for the elite, it's for people with a lot of money, and financial advisors are there to sell you a product. Not at all, actually. That's somebody that's going to help you with your finances and your journey to say, instead of throwing it all away with the hope that you're going to get financial freedom, this is how you can free up based on what your circumstances are. It's like saying, Michael, I'm not going to pull my own teeth out. I'm going to go to a dentist. Yeah. It's the same with finances. It's difficult to manage them. So get somebody who's competent in helping you manage the finances, no matter how little you think you have.
Sayla Mignotti, thank you very much. Great message there. Consumer financial education specialist at the Momentum Group Foundation. Betting on yourself through learning and saving and small steps of progress, I think, is still the safest wager there is out there. You're listening to Classic Business.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.